بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. إن شاء الله we're going to continue on in the glimpses from the life of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. As we have explained earlier, that the life of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is truly guidance and truly the guide for us. Subhanallah. It doesn't matter at which situation you're in, but when you pick up the life of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put such barakah in it that you will find guidance in it for yourself. And there's no wonder in that, because indeed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to us as a role model. So of course, if he's our role model and Allah has chosen him for us, then inshallah in every aspect of his life we will find something that we can benefit from. In fact, one of the Salaf al-Salih used to say that we used to teach our children the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam just like we would teach them a surah from the Quran. So mashallah, especially the urban community is known for their effort that they have put into Quran programs and the amount of huffaz they have produced and the amount of emphasis they have put on the Quran. Now, subhanallah, the step forward is if we put that type of emphasis on the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course not taking away from our efforts on the Quran, but also to combine it with the effort of learning the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will see that the fruits of this is going to change the lives of our children. It's going to change the society for us. And that is truly, subhanallah, the companions, you know, they're called the companions. Why? You know, the companions, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were, subhanallah, generous. They were smart. They were brave. They had so many different qualities. But the quality that we know them for today is Sahaba. And Sahaba, as we know, comes from Suhbah. The only thing that we know them, what gives them the highest level title. For example, a person, when he gets an associate or he gets a master's and then he gets a bachelor's and master's and PhD, you call them with the highest title that they have, you mention that. You say Dr. So-and-so or Professor So-and-so. You mention them with the highest title that they have. The companions, radiallahu anhum, when we mention them, we say what? We say Sahaba. That is the highest caliber that they have reached. And that is from Suhbah. That suhbah is when you accompany someone, right? So they accompanied the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and believed in him, and that gave them the highest status. So today, inshallah, when we try to accompany spiritually the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by learning about him, by implementing his sunnah, by living his example, then inshallah, through that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give us a status. Is going to give us nur, is going to give us light, is going to give us guidance that we cannot achieve otherwise. So last week we were discussing about the age of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he's about 13, 14 years old and he starts to graze the sheep and he's a shepherd. And we talked about why he became a shepherd, his life as a shepherd, and then also the hikmah, the wisdom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in him being a shepherd. As we said, that the time from his birth till the age of 40, we have very limited information. So we have about maybe four or five more incidents left. And inshallah, today we will cover about two to three incidents. And next week we will cover the remaining. And then we will start from the wahi of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I strongly recommend, inshallah, the brothers here, and even bring your children and everybody to start with the wahi of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because that's when the world changed. The wahi that was sent to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent after 500 to 600 years, because the one that came before that was to Isa alayhi salam, and that was sent to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was such that there will be no wahi after. So that is our only guidance. So to start to understand the conditions and situations in which the wahi is being sent and how it can guide our life. Anyway, going back to the age of 13, 14, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being a shepherd, we talked about that. Now, one of the incidents that happens around the age of 15 or so, 15 to 18, this is about the age, is that there's an incident called Harbul Fijar, the evil wars. And the reason why it's called the evil wars is because the Arabs at that time, they used to hold certain things with sanctity. For example, the Haram, Masjid al-Haram, we call it Masjid al-Haram. Why? Because what is halal outside it is actually haram in the haram, like hunting and all that. So at that time, they used to have the Ashurul Hurum, the sacred months, the sacred place. So those places, you're not allowed to do anything. What happened is, there's tribes. As we said, there's no system of police, there's no system of court, there's no justice system. So the only system that's in place is tribalism. If you do something to somebody from my tribe, the whole entire tribe is going to get on you and take revenge of that. So there are multiple tribes, but one of the major tribes is the Banu Kinana. And from under the Banu Kinana comes the Quraysh. And then there is another major tribe, Qais Ailan, comprised of the Ghatafan and the Hawazin. What happened is somebody from the Kinana tribe, he kills somebody from Qais Ailan. And after he kills him, the people from the Qais Ailan tribe, which is the Ta'if area, the Thaqif area, they get so raged up and angry, they said, we're going to take revenge. They start to chase the person. And in the process, the person went to Masjid al-Haram. And again, Masjid al-Haram is sacred. You're not allowed to fight. You're not allowed to shed blood there. So the guy from the Kinana tribe, he runs to Masjid al-Haram to be protected. But the people from Qais Ailan were so raged up, so angry, that they actually followed him all the way to the Masjid al-Haram. The Quraysh got really pissed off at this. How dare you come into the sacred place? How you dare try to fight this? How dare you do this? So what happens is a cold war starts between them. Now, not too much blood has been shed for a long period of time, but it's a war enmity that they held on for a long period of time. And that's why the scholars say that when they say the age 15 to 18, because some scholars say that it lasted for perhaps 3 years. And yeah, it might have started at the age of 15 and maybe ended at the age of 18. But with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was at a little bit older age, there was one day when there was actual active war going on. When there was an active war going on, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was hesitant in participating. But his uncle told him, you have to help us out. In fact, some narrations say that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be active, when he would be a participant in the war, they would see that they would be winning. That side would be winning. When he's not, they would not. Right? There's some da'if in the qawl, but as I said, in terms of seerah, we are allowed to take a different grade of ahadith. Now, going back to the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is participating. Now, did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actively participate and kill somebody? Majority of the scholars say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't do that. What he would do is he would go and collect the arrows, and he would give the arrows to his uncles, and the fight would continue on. So this is one of the major incidents that has happened in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continues, another major incident that happens in his 20s, in his mid-20s, and this incident is called Hilful Fudul. Hilful Fudul, some narration says Hilful Mutayyibin. What happens over here? As we mentioned, explaining the geography of Mecca, that it was a center, it was a markaz. People used to come to Mecca, not just for tawaf around the Kaaba, but they used to come for business exchange. They used to buy and sell. So a person from the Zubayd tribe came, and he was buying stuff, selling stuff. So this guy, his name is Al-As ibn Wa'il. He's one of the leaders of Quraysh. He comes to this Zubaydi, this person from the Zubayd tribe, and says that, hey, let me take such and such from you, and I'll give you the money later on. So the guy from the Zubayd tribe is like, okay, honor system, I'll take the money later on. He goes on later to Al-As ibn Wa'il, and he said, give me my money. He said, what money? Get out of here. And he tries and tries, but Al-As ibn Wa'il is like, I got nothing to do with you. And what can you do? Can you go to the cops? Can you go anywhere? You can't go anywhere. So this person, the only thing he could do at this point, he doesn't have his family, he doesn't have... So he climbs the mountain, and he, before he climbs the mountain, he actually goes to a few individuals, but they say, sorry, we can't help you. He's a leader of the Quraysh, one of the leaders. We can't help you against him. So he climbs the mountain, and he starts to sing abiyat, he starts to sing poetry, and that was basically the media back then. If you wanted something to spread, you start saying poetry. So he says, Ya Ali Fihr. Ali Fihr is known as the Quraysh. Oh, people of Quraysh, I've been wronged. People have taken money from me, and I don't have my family. They're far away, and I'm seeking your help. When people heard that, they're like, wow, we got to do something. And the one who stood up to actually take real action is the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His name is Zubayr. Zubayr ibn Abdul Muttalib. He gets up and he's like, this is not right. All right, we're going to hold a meeting. Everybody meet up in the house of Abdullah ibn Jad'an. Now, Abdullah ibn Jad'an is one of the senior people living in Mecca. So they used to give a lot of preference and honor to the person who was the most senior. So because of the fact that he was the most senior person, they gathered in his house. And they gathered all the leaders of the Quraysh. The leaders. They come over here. We need to solve this matter. We're going to go into a pact. But now remember, I said all the leaders go. Look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's in his 20s and he participates in this. Nobody had an issue with this because of the status of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was respected. He was accepted as a leader. He was accepted as the honorable one. He was accepted as that. So what would happen? He also is now participating in this pact. And so they basically write down that from today on, we are going to help the oppressed. Doesn't matter who the oppressor is, whether he's a leader of the Quraysh or he's whoever it may be, we will all stand together to help the oppressed. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took part in that, and from there that became Hilful Fudul. Now a few things to learn over here is that actually later on, when Islam has come and established in the time of Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that at the time of Jahiliyyah, before Islam came, I participated in something called the Hilful Fudul. And the Hilful Fudul was such a noble thing that had I been invited to participate in that in the time of Islam, I would have. Or had I been asked to switch my place for the best-breaded camels of the time, I would not do so. Now look, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Islam did not come yet, but his nature, him being innerly inclined towards good, to fight for justice, to stand in social rights, social affairs, to defend others, to help the oppressed, that's who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. So we realize from this as well that we also need to understand that when it's the cause of social justice, when it's a cause of helping others, when it's a cause of standing against oppression, when it's a cause of standing with the oppressed, we must be active and we must be participating. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not just somebody who sat in the masjid and counted how many times he read the Quran from the beginning to the end. Great, let's not take diminish from the value of reading the Quran. It's the most noble act you can do. But Islam is a way of life. And we living in this world, we're living in social circles, we're living in different dilemmas, so it's upon us to make sure that we are involved in the world and we are actively participating in all the affairs that are going on around us. That's extremely important. Now what happens is, and inshallah, last story, I will finish with this. What happens now is, now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as I said, he's in his 20s. Around this time too, a little bit maybe before the Hilful Fudul or so, that's when Khadija radiallahu anha asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to go as her business partner to Sham. Now how did all this happen? Remember we talked about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being a shepherd? Well, you know the sheep that he was grazing actually belonged to the older sister of Khadija. So as I mentioned last time, When it was time for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to go and get the money for what he's earned for the day, he felt too embarrassed to go ask for the money, to go speak to somebody opposite gender. So what did he do? He sent his partner. He said, "Can you go on my behalf and ask?" He felt embarrassed. So he went and asked, and he said, "From here, obviously, somebody comes, Khadija radiallahu anha's sister is saying, 'Oh, where's Muhammad?' And the guy's like, 'Oh, he's over there. He was shy. He didn't want to come.' Now ladies start to talk in the house. And man, this guy, Muhammad, he's such a noble person. He's so. And starts to praise him. And when somebody praises someone in front of you, you start to develop respect for that person. So Khadija radiallahu anha starts to get respect for him, starts to understand, wow, this person is special. Then she was like, "You know, I've been looking for somebody honorable, somebody noble, somebody trustworthy to actually do business with. So maybe I can ask him to become my business partner in doing mudaraba." Mudaraba is something that one person has the money and the other person puts in the effort and they invest like that, and afterwards they share the profit. So she asks, "Can you please go with me for this reason to go to Sham all the way to Syria and trade for me?" Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is like, "Let me consult with my uncle." When he consulted, now subhanallah, the power of mashwara. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma nadima man istashara." The person who makes mashwara, he will not regret. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts khair in mashwara and in istikhara. So this happens. Now he makes mashwara, and his uncle Abu Talib tells him, "It's a good opportunity. I think you should go for it." He goes, and the Prophet, the Khadija radiallahu anha, mashallah, an extremely intelligent woman, she sends her slave Maysara. "I want you to go and check out how Muhammad is, how his dealing is, what does he do, how does he do it." Okay, they go, they come back. They came back with so much profit, Khadija is shocked. "Wow, I've never seen so much barakah in my wealth. I've never seen so much trust." She asked Maysara, "What type of person is he?" And he says, "He's a very noble person. He's very this. And starts to praise him. Khadija radiallahu anha is like, "He's the guy." She speaks to one of her friends. She said, "Can you please go and speak on my behalf to Muhammad if he's interested in marrying?" Her friend goes and starts to speak to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And upon this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is like, "Yeah, I mean, I'm open." Now remember, Khadija radiallahu anha is very noble, extremely noble lady. So many proposals has come to her, but she rejected all of them. She's a person of great lineage, and she's a person of great wealth. She's a person of great honor. Everybody wanted to marry her, but she rejected. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks his uncle, and his uncle is like, "It's a good idea, and you should go for it." And so then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam marries Khadija radiallahu anha when he is 25 years old. He is 25. Khadija radiallahu anha, the most prolific or the most famous narration says that she was 40. However, there are narrations that do say that she was younger. Some even say that she was about 28 years old. And some scholars will go on to bring the different aqwal of like Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and some scholars will actually justify to say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has had 6 children with her. And it's not possible, it is possible, but it's very difficult for somebody to be 40 years old and give children to, after that age, to 6 children. Therefore, her age must have been young. But as I said, the famous thing is that she was 40 years old. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam marries her, and he has 6 children with her, 4 daughters and 2 sons. Right? And now, as we see, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanallah, from this time onwards, all the way till wahi, which is 15 years, only one major incident that we know of. And the reason for that is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dedicates this time to family. He spends time with family, right? And he takes, and subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has truly blessed. And through this we also realize that, you know, for you to become something, to do something, You have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made your other half your wife. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made your other half your wife. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he got wahi, the first person he went to is Khadija radiallahu anha. Khadija radiallahu anha, the fadail about her can go on and on and on. It's non-ending. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, she's the first person to believe in me. She believed in me when everybody rejected me. She supported me when everybody got away from me. She helped me financially. She helped me spiritually, emotionally, all the way. And so subhanAllah, we're going to talk a little bit later about Khadija radiallahu anha, but we realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed her because all his progeny continues from her. So we see that Khadija radiallahu anha also subhanAllah was smart enough that she didn't just run into the marriage, but she tried to look, right? Who should I marry? What are his qualities? What are his this, that? So all of these things. So we realize so many different incidents and lessons from before even Nabuwa starts. Imagine, inshallah, once Nabuwa starts, then there are so many things to learn from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and put into our life. Inshallah, next week, we should be able to finish up the story of the rebuilding of the Kaaba. And then after that, the wahi, inshallah. So we'll be covering those two things, inshallah, next week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the deen of Islam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to live like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah.